Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, ranked in the top 5 for best online bachelor's programs. To learn more, visit asuonline.asu.edu.
Good morning, lads. How are you, Jerry and Owen?
You start the day with some good energy.
Good morning, Jerry and Owen. How are we doing, lads?
Yeah, good.
Off the ball, breakfast.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
There's no f***ing filler.
Football on Off the Ball.
She is really turning into one of those, like, you know, true classy modern centre-backs. Able to play, but also able to do the kind of the hard, gritty game.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Well, 8:35, Ciara Trant, former Dublin goalkeeper. Good morning to you.
How are you?
How's it going?
Not too bad, yeah.
Thanks a million for coming in.
No problem.
We're just chatting in the break there about summer plans and all these sort of interesting things that you get to do. You're probably acclimatising a bit more now, 2 years retired and getting used to being a civilian.
Yeah, evenings free is a little bit different. Usually I'd have nobody around during the day, everyone's in work, and then I'd go to football training in the evening when everybody's free. So, you know, I'd never really see anyone, but it's a little bit different. But yeah, getting used to having some spare time in the summer.
Seth and Ashling were chatting before we came on and we were like, oh, could there be a Stephen Cluxton situation here where, you know...
I don't know. A few people had that conversation with me last year and I was on the fence and I was kind of like, oh, maybe I'll go back. And then he did. And I was like, well, I can't go back now.
I was thinking when I saw a lot of the girls coming back, obviously, Sinead McGolder came back in, Yid Nicole, Owen, there was a few of the girls that came back. So I was thinking at that point... Will Ciara show her face?
Yeah, mate, I don't know. I'm always him and Han. I think when they have, you know, the good days like Leinster final and Croke Park, I was like, oh God, I could definitely play. But then, you know, during the league and the training sessions in midweek, I was just like, no, I just haven't got the appetite for that anymore.
You don't miss it.
I do. You know, I was only thinking during the week, I really miss the emotions of it. Mm-hmm. Like the good days and the bad days and everything in between. And obviously the girls and the team and the, you know, the banter and stuff like that. But I don't miss the actual football too much, which is kind of surprising because, you know, that's all I did growing up was kick a ball. So,
and do you ever think of training or anything like that, getting in as a coach? Or
I'm doing a bit of coaching at the moment. I'm actually involved with two men's teams.
Cool.
So dipping my toe in that a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm too ambitious about it, but staying in touch with the game a little bit.
Oh, very good. And what side of coaching is it for you, or... Is it goalkeeping or...?
No, it's managing one team and then just running training sessions and stuff with another team, so...
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, keeping me busy.
Yeah.
Shay Given always has this thing about, like, why do goalkeepers always get, like, you know, compartmentalised as a goalkeeper coach?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had the best view of games for 20 years of my career. There's nobody better positioned.
I actually had that conversation with both teams, being like, I don't want to be put in a box here, like, you know, and the men's game's a little bit different and stuff like that, so the coaching... side of thing in terms of being a goalkeeper I'd be unfamiliar with, so I'm just finding my feet a little bit. And in fairness to both teams, they're like, the lads, they don't really care, they don't bat an eye at me, they just come in, do a training session, let's talk football, and they're happy with that, so that's what I'm comfortable with. So
deadly. And what age group are they?
Under the men's teams.
Okay, see,
Yeah.
Very good.
What I was surprised to hear you say there that, like, you didn't miss the football bit, like the actual playing of it. But you missed even the bad days was kind of, you know, the emotions of didn't go our way, but you're understanding that these are the days that are necessary to make the other days possible, or?
Yeah, it's just kind of like I'm finding that you don't, like, your emotions are kind of quite level in day-to-day life. Whereas when you're involved in sport, whether it's training session or a match or a team meeting or anything, like, you know, you're up, you're on a massive high, you're on a massive low, but, you know, everything's just kind of, you know, tipping along kind of in life at the moment, and you don't really experience those as much. So, yeah, it's probably something I never really realised when I was playing, but yeah, that's definitely something I miss.
You're a teacher.
Yeah.
You don't go to the classroom with, like, the adrenaline rush of...
well, some of them sometimes do. Yeah, I actually asked my first years this year on their test, what, you know, what do you like about class and what would you like to improve on? And something I'd like to improve on is I enjoy class when Miss Trant is in a good mood.
Okay.
That was across the board.
Which is every day? Was that the following?
So I don't know if they're having a bit of crack or it's serious. Yeah. So I don't know. I'll reflect on that over the summer.
But you can replace, so if you don't miss the football, you can replace the other stuff with coaching, the adrenaline rush and the highs and the
Yes and no, a little bit. I know when you're on the pitch and, you know, before and after the game, the coaching, you still don't get that.
Okay.
That buzz. You're not, it's not really for you. It's for the players and nothing's in your control. You can't really affect much of what's happening on the pitch. Whereas in a player, you're just so emotionally invested in it. Mm. And it's your everything and everything you think about, like going to bed at night or, you know, eating your meals and stuff, everything's for performance and you just don't get the same emotional feedback as a coach.
Mm. And on the flip side, it must be nice to not have to think about all of that, going to bed at night and getting your food and trainings. And
yeah, I'm going to bed at night going, I hope everybody's available to play at the weekend or stuck for numbers. Like,
you're still thinking.
I was at Westmeath Galway last weekend. I'm from Westmeath. I found it intolerable to watch. I was like two or three rows back. I found that experience just totally intolerable to the point where I'm sort of getting to the stage where I'm not even sure I can watch a thing anymore. And then I think about the coaches who are out on the sideline and need to be in that sort of, what is it, blue head sort of cool state or whatever. What's your demeanour as a coach? Do you get very much caught up in proceedings? Are you cool and calm? Is it hard to find that balance or how do you find it?
I say I'm cool and calm. And I would have been like that with a player, I think, or worked on that as a player. Stay relaxed, you know, stay composed. But it's hard in terms of you can't really influence the game, as in I can't go on and make a block or get a tackle or do something like that, or you set up a score or something like that. It's all over to the player. So, you know, to be honest, we're not doing too well with either team. There's a lot of losses and you kind of feel like, you know, you're completely out of control. It's over to the player. So that's, I'm learning a lot from that in terms of game management and stuff, but you do get, I get caught up in watching the game, you know, and nearly, like, as management teams, we probably have to, or I have to get better at, right, this is my focus for today, this is what I'm going to work on and delegate a little bit more. But, you know, when you're losing a match and you're trying to make a comeback, you're kind of nearly trying to balance being a spectator and trying to manage as well, which is a hard balance to find. But look, I'm only starting out this year, so I'll learn a lot.
Yeah, well, thanks for chatting to us about that, because it wasn't the reason you came in, but thank you anyway. And there was one related topic that I might put to you before we get into the WMAO game. It was just Grace Clifford in the papers this morning talking about the influence of Diane O'Hara and the importance of having a female manager. There was a quote from, I think, Diane herself saying that there was a level of mutual respect, even empathy, was what she had said in relation to it. Were the managers or coaches that you had all the way coming up, obviously with Dublin, Mick Bowen was there probably for a good few years of that. Had you female coaches coming up or?
Underage, any females involved were always FLOs, like liaison officers. Then when Mick came in, he actually put a massive emphasis on getting former players back involved with the team. And we've had lots of former players coaching and supporting us. So, you know, at senior level, that was quite visible. And he always encouraged us to give back. You know, we're playing at the highest level. We're winning all Ireland's. We were dominating for a lot of years. So to use that knowledge and share that and give back to the game, he, you know, always encouraging that nearly every day you'd meet him. And I think it is important, but, you know, especially, I know Grace Clifford is talking about inter-county levels, about having the right people as well. I think there's no point having a female involved or a male involved just for the sake of numbers or for the sake of gender balance. And I would have felt that, going back to our conversation about coaching there, that I didn't want to be a girl involved with men's team just for the sake of having a girl there and visibility and doesn't this look great. And the lads would have been the same, as in we don't care if she's a girl or not, once she's good. And that was their feedback after the first training session, like, oh God, she does know what she's talking about. She, you know, that was a good training session. They're all good drills and stuff like that. So I'd say it doesn't matter what gender the team is. It's about having someone in that knows what they're talking about and is doing the job. And yeah, if you can relate to Diana, obviously being a former player and, you know, her coaching CV is vast. Like, so being able to rely on her experience is massive for Kildare, whereas if it was just a female just thrown in for the sake of having a female manager, you wouldn't have the same effect. So for Kildare, they're just lucky to have someone that they can trust and they know has been there and done that sort of thing. And that's the most important thing for any job, really, having trust in someone that's they're able to do the job.
Yeah, it's definitely about having the right person, as you said. And I think creating those opportunities, like say for you going into the role you're in now, how did that come about? Were you approached or was it something that you wanted to do?
Well, it's not something that I wanted to do. I said no to a lot of jobs and coaching roles, but the one team was my brother's team, and I know they were stuck for someone, and I kind of had it in the back of my head and had conversations with him. The last couple of years, I said I'd get involved, and then this year nobody else would do it, so I said, "Ah, sure, go on." And the next day, Shane Kearney, who's involved with the Dubs, and he was with the Hurlers and with Cool and stuff, he rang me and said, "We're looking for someone to get involved, someone with a bit of experience." And he said my name came into his head, and he asked me to do that. And I actually felt with that job with St Plunkett's a little bit obliged to do it, that I'd no connection to the club, didn't know absolutely anybody. They're just going off a recommendation from someone they trust, and that was huge for me. But also, being a girl and being asked to do that was massive, and I kind of thought, you know, I can't turn down this opportunity because it might open the door for somebody else and it might change a few people's views. So kind of taking on that responsibility was huge. But, you know, I'd planned to do absolutely nothing involving football this year, and now I haven't got a night off during the week. So.
Yeah.
Let's get into the game. So the context: Mayo beaten by Galway in the Connacht final. Dublin did a good number on Meath in the Leinster final, and we're into the All-Ireland Series round one. It's Parnell Park on Sunday, and so much chat at the back of last year was, even I remember in the lead into the final against Kerry, was that this was ahead of Dublin's trajectory, even possibly to be in the final, and then to have won it obviously was an extension of that again. From what you've seen so far this year, are they better again this year, or is that, how's that evolving?
Yeah, definitely. So the new crop of girls that came in last year, that probably optically would have said that they're holding the team back a little bit, and you know they probably need a little bit more time to grow and develop. Like, you know, they did about 5 years worth of work in 1 year last year, so you can see a lot more confidence. And even then, the younger girls that are coming into squad, they've seen what the likes of Niamh Donnellan and Niamh Crowley did last year, and they're saying, well, why can't I do that? I'm new. They were new. So there's a lot of confidence in the team, a lot of trust. And I think for the senior players looking down, what they did last year is giving them a lot of confidence and a lot of insurance that if a young girl comes in and can play football, we can blend her into this team, we can bring her up to speed and she can do damage. There's a lot more trust and faith in a new crop of girls. So yeah, I think they're in a better position this year than they were this time last year.
Well, that's a bit of a worry for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, even just to mix all those All-Ireland winners coming back in as well, so to mix that youth that are coming through, and as you said, maybe ahead of their time, with these girls who've all this experience and know what it takes, coming back into a squad as well.
Yeah, like there can be an element of maybe cockiness coming into a team that has such a number of All-Irelands, recent All-Irelands, and you think, God, we'll come in here now and we might win an All-Ireland. And that wasn't the case at the start of the league last year. And it was said, Dublin are rebuilding, this is, you know, they're in transition, give them 2 or 3 years and they'll find their feet. But now you have the young girls with an All-Ireland medal in their back pocket, and that's just confidence. And then you have the older heads that can bring a bit of maturity and a bit of sense to it. So balance that kind of naivety and overconfidence of the younger girls with the older girls that have won and lost All-Irelands. It's a nice blend to have.
I did notice, I don't know how much you can read into the Meath game, particularly the nature of the scoreline at the end, but There was a big range of scores, including off the bench. Was there like 10 or 11 different scores? Carla Rowe and Hannah Terrell did score 1-8, admittedly, between them. But, you know, there's a big range of scores, which was a sort of a shift on maybe for where things had been previously in terms of reliance on a couple of players. Is that a thing that we will, is that just a function of that game, or is that something we'll continue to see?
I think it's something, especially when I was there, something we always aimed for. It was never give someone the ball and she'll score. It's just Dublin's style of play. Give the ball to the right person. And if you have time and space, put the ball over the bar and that's it. It shows the strength and depth in the Dublin panel as well. But it's just down to training and repetition of that. Like, they do it over and over again. And it probably was the Achilles heel of the team for quite a while, not being able to put the ball over the bar and creating so many opportunities and not scoring. But now they score more often than they miss. So yeah, like how do you, for in Dublin's case, they're so strong because you don't have to mark one player, and you know, if we can just keep her quiet, we should win the game. With Dublin, you know, you need your six defenders man opposition need their six defenders man marking against Dublin now, because the threats come from the half back line, full back line as well.
And that comes with confidence. We've been talking about confidence all morning with Ronan O'Gara as well. And you're just saying the shift in the players when you are on a run, and you see the difference in players. Obviously, a lot of players can be confidence players, but it just oozes out of everyone. Then everyone wants to go when you're feeling good about yourself and you're taking on the shot, when sometimes you're second guessing yourself if you don't have that in you.
Yeah, I would have said, particularly watching the girls against Meath in the final round of the Leinster Championship in Parnell Park, that the younger girls coming on and backing themselves, whereas I would have been like, don't even think about shooting. And then, you know, they're having a go and they back themselves more often than not, put it over the bar. So why not?
Mayo, obviously, we were mentioning Avengers Assemble earlier in relation to Limerick Hurlers. They have done that with the coaching ticket with Dermot Flanagan and Liam McHale. Mixed bag in the league, not a pile to go on in Connacht apart from the final result, obviously. But it doesn't feel like Mayo are yet at that Kerry, Dublin, Galway level. They have a bit of work to go.
Yeah, I think with that management turnover, but also they had a massive, you know, exodus of girls over to Australia as well, and that they're still trying to find their feet and cope with that and bring the younger girls up. You know, you have a massive age difference. I know you have it in the Dubs, but from, you know, Fiona McHale to, say, Fionnuala McLaughlin, who's one of their key players this year, who's, you know, new enough onto the panel, she's still quite young. I think Dublin managed that a lot better than the likes of Mayo have. But they're a team that don't lie down. I always, you know, I was always confident playing against Mayo, but also very, very wary of them. Because, you know, on a good day, they're very, very formidable. They just don't have enough good days in them recently to get over the line in the likes of Connacht finals or, you know, getting to league finals. That's where they should expect themselves to be, but they just haven't just got over the line. So the potential is there for them to cause an upset in the championship, but
it won't be this weekend, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either, no.
And the likelihood is Dublin will top that group and Mayo and Kildare will fight it out.
Yeah, you can see Mayo pulling through that, but, you know, Kildare aren't easy to play against, and, you know, they'll be targeting Mayo. They'll be looking at this game this weekend very, very closely, with a massive focus just on Mayo. They have a little bit of break. Mayo have probably two training sessions to prepare for Kildare. So, you know, Kildare will fancy in themselves. Mayo will be looking to perform at the weekend and then carry that over into Kildare.
Yeah. I know there's a... went looking last night to have a bit of a read around previews, various bits and bobs. There was one piece... I'm not saying this is totally comprehensive, but one piece that I could find in the Irish Independent, and that was about it. There is one or two pieces this morning. We mentioned Grace Clifford there. Just doesn't feel as if there's enough coverage of it, really, for such an important phase of the championship.
Yeah, I think a lot of that perhaps goes down to provincials as well. Like Dublin, their average winning score in the Leinster Championship was 22 points.
Okay.
Mayo and Galway, it was a straight final. There's always, you know, similar to the men's, there's always a bit of a battle up in Ulster. And then, you know, this year, down in Munster was kind of Kerry's to lose. So it's all quite one-sided in the provincial championships. I think you just need an upset to kickstart championship and get that coverage. But yeah, it's up to the girls to make it more competitive, the teams to make it more competitive and entertaining to draw that coverage. You know, you're trying to fill pages with entertainment, things people want to read and, you know. But it is disappointing that the only thing in the newspapers today is, you know, Grace Clifford talking about having a female coach rather than actual football.
Previewing the game. Yeah. You know. Yeah, well, I was conscious of that in our chat at some point. We needed to move off what we were doing. But I do think you're being overly generous on the media there as well, I must say, because, like, it's part of our role to sort of find the interesting angles and to, you know, if, even if it is a one-sided game, But anyway, and I must mention as well, give a bit of kudos to G Carr, because whatever games are not going to be showed on the main channel are going to be streamed on their YouTube, as I understand it. So.
Yeah, and they're there to view forever as well. So if you miss a game, TG Carr leave it up for you to to watch later. Yeah. They're fantastic.
Yeah. With all the controversy going on over elsewhere, obviously.
Yeah. Will you look forward to watching Meath and Armagh?
Yeah, it would be interesting. Like, Armagh have a massive point to prove in terms of, you know, you think of Armagh football, you think of Amy Mackin, Blaine Mackin. Blaine missed a league. Amy's now out with her ACL, so...
Three ACLs in one household.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, at least you've company for a reason.
Yeah. That's they actually do have funny pictures up, like, of them, like, lying on the couch. And, yeah.
But they have a massive point to prove. And they're playing off a lot of confidence as well. Their performances in the league were massive. And, you know, Greg has done a great job with them. So they're going out to prove they're not just a Mackin team. Which they aren't, played against them lots of times, and it's always a dogfight against them. And then Meads, you know, they've created this massive legacy for themselves recently and haven't lived up to it this season, and even last season should have been very disappointed in themselves, and they need to show that, you know, it wasn't a once off, it wasn't, you know, twice off kind of thing. You know, they've a legacy to kind of live up to there. So an interesting battle, and, you know, for both teams, what a tasty way to start off the championship as well. Mm-hmm. They'll be buzzing for this weekend.
Big time. Chat to you a bit more over the summer.
Yep, perfect.
Thanks a million.
Football on Off the Ball.
She is really turning into one of those, like, you know, true classy modern centre-backs, able to play but also able to do the kind of the hard gritty game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.